We're going to the agenda now. Agenda item one, Chairman's notices. They're on the back of the order paper. I won't go through them, but I will say this in advance. This meeting will be recorded for the public part of the meeting. At the end of the public part of the meeting, the official recording equipment will be turned off, but the other recording equipment will be turned on. So we have a record of what is said so that we can monitor and fully report the comments of the members, so there's no confusion after the meeting what's said. And my understanding is, as far as that's concerned, is that committee services will be producing an annex and a confidential annex or an appendix to the report, so we can see the cases that we've highlighted when we get there. So agenda item two, apologies for absence, please. Madam Clerk.
Apologies for absence have been received from Councillor Durick, Councillor Channer, Councillor Helen Elliott and Councillor Peter Elliott, and Councillor Pratt.
Thank you.
Sorry, and Councillor Boyce, sorry, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Helm.
I think it's very poor that these members haven't turned up for this meeting. We asked for a special meeting. We deferred another meeting that was started because it wasn't an official meeting, and these people haven't bothered to turn up. We asked for a special meeting. You know, it's not good enough.
I think comments are noted, and I'm sure they'll be recorded in the minutes of this meeting accordingly. Agenda item three, disclosure of interest. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interests, other pecuniary interests, or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda, having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8 inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. Members are also reminded that they are also required to disclose any such interests as soon as they become aware, should their need arise throughout the meeting. Now, bearing in mind what we shall be doing in the private session, I would suggest that if anybody wants to disclose in relation to those items, they should do it then, and I'll ask the clerk to record them accordingly. Councillor Pudney.
Thank you, Chairman. That was my disclosure of interest was in the confidential section.
Thank you.
I will disclose now if you like.
Yeah, I'm just mindful of the fact that by disclosing over in enforcement, you're actually alerting the people to where the enforcement might well be, and the whole issue of the confidentiality surrounding enforcement cases is murky enough, so I'd rather just like to do it like that. Is there any other disclosures of interest? Members? Thank you. Agenda item four, which you'll find on pages 5 to 48, is the planning enforcement report. This will be delivered by Mr. Dobson, the Director of Planning and Regulatory Services. Mr. Dobson.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, this report covers an overview of enforcement and the basis of enforcement, the current performance both at a district level and at the covering the planning committee area. Initially, I'd draw members' attention to paragraphs 3.2, 3.3 and 3.4, which set out the basis on which we undertake enforcement as a district under the Town and Country Planning Act. I think under 3.4, it outlines there that the council will take action when it's expedient to do so, which basically means whether it's necessary, practical and reasonable to take action against a breach. And it's useful to note there that enforcement action isn't intended to be remedial rather than punitive and should only be taken where there's demonstrable harm. So I think it's useful just to set that context at the start. In terms of performance, and really it's a story, sorry, before we move on to performance, I'll just say it sets out, I've referred in Appendix A to the Council's enforcement policy, which fully sets out how the Council responds to the complaints received, and that it's a three-stage process where it's an initial visit, then a decision on how to respond to that, and then we go into the enforcement or the action necessary. So in terms of how we perform on the basis of that that policy. If you look at 3.10, I think what's clearly demonstrable is how the number of complaints have increased over the last 5 years. It's not clear exactly why that's happened. I mean, some of it is because there's been, I understand it, more enforcement action, which has encouraged people to then complain because they think there's going to be some action in terms of their complaint. But it shows that, you know, that trend's quite stark. I mean, if you look at 2013-14, when there was around 270 complaints, up to nearer 500 in the last financial year. You see also the number of complaints closed has increased, but not quite at the same pace. We're always trying to catch up. That's clearly demonstrated under the next graph, under 3.10.3, which shows, it's added a column there that shows the total number of cases at the end of each financial year. And because there's that shortfall between the number of complaints compared to how many are closed, then we're, the total number of cases continues to increase. The next graph shows the performance specifically within the southeast area, and it's a slightly different graph to that for the whole of the district. The trend's still there of the overall number of complaints received going up, although there's a slight dip in the last financial year. But it does show more mixed performance, and I think that, as I understand it, that dip was in sort of 2015-16, potentially linked to some cases where a lot of time went into those cases rather than the large number of cases being processed as they were across the rest of the district. So in terms of addressing that, which I think is what members are really keen to see, it's worth mentioning that the team currently has been without a team manager and short of an enforcement assistant. When we're looking now to appoint to those posts and build up the capacity of the team, it's also worth noting that we're looking to strengthen the planning role of that team leader, so that we've got greater capacity in the team to deal with these issues. So, you know, we're hoping that as that beds in and we increase that capacity, we'll be able to address some of these issues and get some of that shortfall that we've been experiencing down. There are other things that we're doing. I mean, the South East has been challenging with serious cases such as Smugglers Club. We're looking to address that through a case management approach, and Mr. Lee will talk through that as a case study later in the meeting. But that approach can be used. In addition to the above, we're looking to review all of the open cases with a view to either prioritise actions or close where possible, and that may have some impact in closing that gap, but it is something that we try and do regularly in any case. The final thing we could do is look at bringing in an extra resource, but as you'll see under 3.10.8, that is a costly action, and it would be around a cost of $60,000 if it was a planning officer, or $96,000 if we had to bring somebody in as a contractor for 12 months to try and close that gap. So with that in mind, I'll take you back to the recommendations, which were for I, members to know recent staff vacancies and the actions being taken to address that, and that hopefully we'll address it through that, and that we undertake a further review in 6 months once those actions are embedded, with a view to considering the question of the additional resource. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Okay, before I throw it open to members, I think members, although the information is not confidential, it does appear in the confidential paper, so I would bring your attention to page 49, and in particular the total number of enforcement cases that are outstanding, which is just over 600, and the fact that 280 or just under that are in the southeastern area. So I think that's worth noting. And I also think, Mr. Dodson, that the South East Area Planning Committee specifically asked for the data that's found on page 49 of the report, and in particular the data that appertains to the South East Area Planning Committee, that was reported to each meeting of the South East Area Planning Committee. It's not confidential. We did have it at one stage, but it should really go there for comment, or it should appear somewhere in the paper so that the members of that particular committee can understand how we're progressing. Councillor Beale, you had your hand up. Can I just ask you to refer to the page number and the paragraph number? Thank you.
Certainly, sir. Page 8, 9, the graphs. They look very good as about complaints received and then those closed, but some of those that are closed within a particular period, say 17-18, could be some of those that are down in 13-14. So the accumulative effect isn't indicated there. If you look at the graphs at the moment, you suddenly think, oh well, number of complaints received, say 2017-18, you've got sort of nearly 600, and yet the ones between the red and the blue, the red ones might very well be ones that are going back to 2013. It doesn't give the current situation. It looks very good, but we can't ignore the fact that there was a shortfall in 13, there's another shortfall in 14 and all the rest of them, but when you suddenly show in 17, 18 and 16, 17 complaints closed, etc., they could very well not be relative to the actual period which is indicated under that year. They could be some of them are going back to 13 and 14.
I think Mr. Dodson and I had quite a long discussion about how best to present this data, but I'll give way to Mr. Dodson because they're his graphs.
Yes, your interpretation is right. Basically, it doesn't clearly show which are the cases that have been closed and which are open. I mean, obviously, that's part of the purpose of running through the case by case. Both as said in the report and also as we'll do in the later part of the meeting. It's also part of how that's addressed is some of that case study approach, as we're going to cover later as well, around issues like smugglers, where it's addressing those as a whole rather than just individual cases. So I note your point, and yes, that's part of what we're looking to address in the actions that we've set out.
A question, please. Take consideration, supposing we were back on trend again, if during the year we ended up in South Eastern with, say, 50 complaints created, would you expect during that year to get mostly all those 50 cleared? Or would that still go limping on, and so we end up with the same situation again?
We'd hope to get most of them cleared, but I think as it sets out within the report, whilst it doesn't talk about the individual cases, it does set out that those first two reviews that we undertake, we're hitting most of the targets on that. It's when you take action, it means that there are externalities involved. It's not something that we can 100% control. You know, if we put enforcement action in place, then that goes into legal action, and that draws things out and takes a longer period. So it would have to be on a case-by-case basis, and I couldn't guarantee all of those would be sorted out, however much resource you put in it to resolve them within that initial period.
Mr. Chairman, could I come back? The reason for that question was we don't want to get into the same situation we've got over the previous years and then slowly end up with it being inundated with those that we haven't cleared, and just build up and build up until in about another 10 years' time we could end up the same situation again.
Mm, Well, I mean, obviously, if we only had 50 cases, it would be an hallelujah moment anyway. So, you know, let's all strive to get there. Councillor Acevedo.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, we've been asked to agree to the recommendation regarding the staff vacancies. I'm rather concerned that the team, we're looking for a team leader and another officer. Is that correct?
Those are existing vacancies within the current structure.
Thank you. Now, I know that this is not going to be taken very well by some people, perhaps officers, but I'm rather concerned that having a team of only females could be dangerous to those females. I mean, some of the visits that have to be taken by enforcement officers, they do actually have to come across some quite nasty people on occasions, and I'm quite concerned that it could be rather upsetting and rather intimidating to those officers if they don't have somebody with them who is perhaps looking very forceful. After all, it is enforcement. I don't. This is clearly not something that should or is often spoken about, but I am concerned for the safety of the women here. So I wonder if there's some way, without breaking the law, without us breaking the law, that something can be done about it for the safety of our officers, please.
Well, Mr. Dodson, that's a tricky one, isn't it? Because that sort of opens up. I mean, you're welcome to come back if you wish.
I've every confidence in our officers and all our officers' ability to deal with the situation. We have policies in place to ensure that the officers' safety is paramount in everything we do, and we have to obviously comply with equalities legislation within that.
May I come back, Chair?
Of course.
I actually also have every confidence in the officers we have. I don't want anybody to think that that is not the case. I'm talking about, I know there are procedures in place, but I've made my point, I think. Thank you.
Can I, I'm sure you are unaware, but Mr. Moatardis is actually a male, by the way, and he's part of the enforcement team. Did anybody else have their hand up? No? Well, we'll go to the recommendations then, members. The recommendations are on page 5, paragraph 2, 1 and 2. Are those recommendations agreed, members?
Agreed.
Agreed, right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to agenda item number 5. Any other items of business that the chairman considers urgent? There are none. So I'll move on to agenda 6, which deals with exclusion of the public and press, and that is to resolve that under section 100A, brackets 4, close brackets, of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following items of business on the grounds that they involve the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraph 7 of part 1 of schedule 12A of the Act, and that this satisfies the public interest test. Is that seconded? Thank you very much, Councillor Reid. Agreed?
Agreed.
Agreed, okay.